12. Remember why we are. Heavy void shutters should have been closed during the journey through the Immaterium. The demons had tempered with them somehow, and Tiberius had to come up to the chapel in order to fix this. Upon gaining access to the bridge, the Space Marines requested help in finding the last few demons scattered throughout the ship. With the remains of the slaughter outside, it took the frightened headless humans a while to accede to this. The demons had started to evaporate into nothing, but there was enough left to worry the mortals. While the humans organized search parties, Vox asked to be excused for a moment. Titus was surprised by this, but granted it. The librarian returned in silence after a while, and when they went down the large hallway they had arrived by, they found 24 human bodies neatly laid out in the corridor. All of them showed the unpleasant bruising and violated flesh a loss of pressure would cause in a human. Someone had folded their hands on their chests. Nobody commented, but Titus filed it away for future reference. Their day continued with hunting down single demons scattered in the vast hallways and small corridors. When they had finished, they tended to their armor and weapons, restocked on ammo, and finally, after the meal, came the even prayer. It took place in a ventilated and well-lit chapel, in which the gravity had been switched on again. The scattered furniture did not disturb the faithful in their task. Since they had made sure that enough humans were left to clean, they considered their end of the bargain fulfilled. After the prayer, they went to their rooms early. Other than usual, Vox sat down at the table when they entered. He took a piece of paper, a quill, and a small vial of ink out of one of the pockets on his belt and began to write.
"What are you doing?"
Titus inquired.
"Writing the list you demanded." "Right. I had forgotten about that."
That was only partly true. Things could slip Titus' mind for a while, but they never got truly lost. At least under normal circumstances.
"Damn, I should have let you," Vox said without rancor. "Your sense of duty probably wouldn't have let you sleep for it,"
Titus teased him good-naturedly. "Since it doesn't let me sleep for guarding you anyway, it wouldn't have been much of a loss," Vox said distractedly.
"I agreed to you staying at my side, not that you wouldn't sleep."
"Can't be too careful with Larais, trust me."
"You don't seem like a psycho who hasn't slept in 3 weeks."
Vox smiled without looking up. "Every couple of days I ask Dunkwa to stand guard outside so I can switch off for a while."
"You know, it's sweet that you should do that, but I'm no little boy."
"Indeed not," Vox said with a noticeable delay, and there was quiet conviction in his voice as he continued. "Even if there had been doubts, there can't be any left after today."
"How do you mean?"
Titus inquired. Vox looked up from his paper and smiled at him. "Apart from some mighty fine shooting I was privileged to witness, you did exceptionally well as our captain." Titus felt flattered and looked around the room to hide this.
"Coming from the man who took down all these demons single-handedly, this might actually mean something,"
he said casually.
"I wasn't single-handed," Vox disagreed in a soft tone. "I had someone covering me who didn't let himself be carried away by needless pride or machismo. On the contrary, he used the resources we had to the very limit and showed a tremendous capacity for lateral thinking in his tactics. I've rarely seen that before. It was a pleasure and an honor to be led by you today. I hope I get the chance again."
Titus was proud to receive these compliments, but found no answer. Instead, he remembered something.
"The bodies in the corridor were the people who died because we evacuated the sector, weren't they?"
he asked. "Yes," Vox answered, again leaning over his writing.
"Why did you do this? And don't pretend it wasn't you," the captain added a little harsher.
"To remember why we are."
"Why we are what?"
The librarian smiled softly at the paper. "Astartes."
You mean our purpose?
Yes.
And what do you think it is? Titus asked.
Vox stopped writing for a moment. We were chosen by the Emperor as protectors of humanity. Sometimes, when I find myself struggling with my daily chores, or feel that I'm losing my edge, I want to remember what happens when I fail. When I'm too late or not good enough, people die. In addition to those the demons killed today, we sacrificed 24 people to get to the Herald before it could do more harm. We didn't find any other way. It had to be done. And with only 24 in the sector, we got off lightly. But maybe one day there will be another way. And if there is, I don't want to find myself slipping and choosing the easy path. I want to remember. Titus was deeply moved by this. These words, soft in their tone but incredibly hard in their consequence, made him feel that the young man had given him a very intimate glimpse into his views.
Also, Vox continued after a short pause, smiling impishly as he took up his quill again, I found out that all the spies Larrace used to bug the hell out of our rooms are dead. And since Tiberius found the last two bugs right before the curfew, we can't speak freely for once.
Titus stifled a laugh about this addition.
Why didn't you tell me that we were still under surveillance? He wanted to know.
Forgive my lapse, Captain, Vox said calmly. I thought it was obvious.
Maybe I was a little single-minded in the last weeks, Titus admitted, smiling at himself.
Well, getting you to Erech is our mission, not yours. I also feel that you owed some downtime, he added, and put quill and ink away. Titus found no response. He was exhausted after the long day, but the prospect of having a real private conversation for once was just too tempting.
You carry these into battle, he wanted to know, indicating the quill and ink.
The vial is cut from sapphire, Vox said, screwing it shut and putting it away. It can take a lot of pressure before it breaks. And the quill, well, in the end you can write with anything as long as you have ink.
Let me see your list.
You wanted it tomorrow, Vox reminded him in friendly amusement.
Yes. But that was when I still remember that I wanted it at all, Titus pointed out. Now give it here before I burst out of curiosity.
Vox handed it over. His writing was small and curly, and Titus had difficulty deciphering it until he realized that it was written in High Gothic.
Oh dear, he said only half-jokingly. In 3 years with no one to talk to, my fluent use of High Gothic has suffered somewhat.
Of course, some of the litanies and the oath the brothers spoke with each prayer were High Gothic, but they were wording committed to memory, not the creative expression of thought.
Should the desire be yours?
I want to prove a worthy assistant in this matter, Vox said, dropping easily into their second language.
Indeed, I desire you, Titus answered, distracted by the writing.
Vox's expression did not change when he said, That this should be a mistake is a pain in my heart, but it is my estimation that you meant this, not you.
O Emperor, no single sentence I can utter without embarrassing myself. What must you think of me?
When I think of you, I think of your deeds, not your words, and the glory of them surrounds you.
I don't think I can cope with these compliments all the time, Titus said flatly, dropping back into Low Gothic. Please be sure to make fun of me once in a while, at least while we're in private.
He went over his paper again.
That seems a rather short list for what I saw today, he commented then.
Vox was not to be derailed in his eagerness to revive Titus' use of the noble language, and continued in High Gothic. These are the fields the Emperor granted me mastery over. Titus shot Vox a glance, and got the distinct impression that he absolutely meant what he said, and that he still managed to conceal a very important point. He made a start on the descriptions the friend had put underneath four headlines. Gladius referred to the skill of earthing psychic energy through the blade of a foresword. As far as Titus knew, every librarian could do this as long as he had a force weapon at hand.
"May I see your blade?"
he asked, remembering the magnificent sword. He immediately found out that Vox's grin could be incredibly dirty. "Familiarity of this kind is forbidden by the Codex Astartes, Captain," he sneered happily. Titus opened and shut his mouth a few times before he got a grip on himself again. He found no answer and retreated to the list before giving Vox an opening for another joke of this caliber. Igni seemed to be the flame power he had seen many battle psychers use, only that Vox spoke of more than one color. In addition to the usual color, he had marked down the white flame that shifted the state of being. It was a curiosity that managed to get lost in the throng of information for now. Senses had something to do with seeing into the warp and anything connected to it. The description indicated that this was no merely passive power. Everything in contact with the warp could be sensed and even manipulated to a certain point. There was a small footnote stating that this largely excluded Titus. He took his time reading through the description again and tried to make sense of it. Suddenly, the enormity of this exclusion dawned on him. According to his knowledge and what Vox had imparted on him, most living things were connected to the warp after all. He smirked and leaned forward on his knees.
"It was the truth you spoke when you declared that you cannot read my thoughts," he inquired.
"Every word was spoken with truth," Vox said, and there was a suggestion of a silent salute in his eyes. Titus had guessed right.
"Tell me, is that a source of worry?" he asked to explore the point further. "It must be what you are used to."
Vox returned his inquisitive gaze with a hard-to-read expression. Satisfaction seemed to be in there, and regret.
"How lucky I am to have an ally in you, not a foe," he said softly. "Know that you do not worry me. Humans and Astartes alike are loud and complex creatures. I am forced to close my senses to them, or madness takes hold of me. The constant strain can be exhausting. You are quiet. This is restive and refreshing."
"Continue,"
Titus urged him, because he could see that Vox had more to say.
"No."
High Gothic lacked separate words for confirmation or denial, and something like this should have been a bit more elaborate. The single word Vox used was very emphatic this way.
"I apologize if this is hidden under your black shield," Titus said.
"It is not," the Labran informed him.
"But I will not tell you today, beloved superior."
Titus hesitated. The sentence was grammatically correct, but unconventionally structured. He remained uncertain which semantic level he was supposed to pick up on here. He withheld further questions, however. Instead, he returned his attention to the list.